Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a getaway Friday night, August the 21st, 2026. 8:21:26, 16 minutes past the hour. Joined in studio tonight by Matt Morgan. Matt, how you doing?
Doing pretty well.
Man, we had fun earlier today.
I think so.
We had a good show. We had DJ the Barber on, which apparently is just causing stir everywhere. DJ the Barber, celebrity now, because he is the star of the latest Vivek Ramaswamy commercial.
Yeah, he's got the man speaking at rallies and, you know, picks him up and takes him places and, you know, gets his hair cut and all that.
I mean, it's a whole thing. It's very, very exciting. All right, let's take a phone call here. All right, go ahead, caller.
Marion, Ohio, 14, Mount Vernon, Ohio, 9 at halftime. Go ahead, WWGH.
Hey, thank you. Marion Harding up, apparently, in their first game. I walked outside earlier, and I could hear the, what do you call it? Noise, I guess, from the stadium.
The speakers?
Well, no, I could hear crowd. I could hear people yelling.
I don't know about a crowd, but I could definitely hear the announcer.
Well, apparently Harding's up.
That's good.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
But DJ the Barber was on earlier today, the star of the Vivek Ramaswamy ads, which I think is great.
Yeah, I mean, I think it worked out well.
He's a star.
Well, he's
and I think he's our newest political consultant here on this program.
I mean, he said feel free to give him a call, you know, whenever.
Well, he's the type of guy I would call. Now, if you didn't hear the ad earlier, I'm sure you want to hear it again right now. Because this is the Vivek Ramaswamy DJ's Barbershop ad all over the airwaves right now. And it's very, very good, I think. Very, 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 very positive.
Cut a guy's hair for as long as I cut Vivek's hair. You know a person. And I would trust him 120%. And he's for the working man. The people of Ohio are disgusted with what's going on. Electric bills are so high, people can't afford them. These are things that people talk about. Vivek wants to make things better, and he will fix it. I believe in that. He loves Ohio, and it's his home.
Vivek Ramaswamy for governor.
Vivek Ramaswamy for governor, DJ the Barber, and was on this show earlier. We found out all kinds of stuff. Apparently, he takes him to rallies and picks him up, and he still cuts his hair.
Yeah.
You know, there was a lot of talk that this man might not be real. Well, we certainly got the answer to that earlier on today.
Well, he's certainly real, and he apparently still cuts Vivek's hair, and Vivek's taking him to rallies. So, I mean, you know, I believe that the man believes what he says. I mean, he was, tearing up on
the phone. He was very emotional earlier on, which I thought was very nice. When the mics come on, is that what triggers you to just
maybe,
cough like crazy?
Maybe, I don't know. I mean, is it
holy, Matt, you didn't cough at all before the show started tonight.
Well, now I'm talking consistently, I guess, so, you know.
You gotta get some Claritin.
No.
Claritin or some kind of...
Medicine's no good for you.
By the way, I'll give you an update on this whole, I told somebody they have autism.
Okay.
Well, here's where it got today.
Did they go to the doctors?
No, I don't think they went to the doctor. But I said to them, I hope you're well, and, you know, because I think they were angry. Hope you're well, blah, blah, blah. I think I said, God bless you, or something like that. And basically, there was a little bit of sarcasm, but the thrust of it was, apparently I was not being sweet enough to them.
What do you mean?
The response was something like, you say the sweetest things, you're shocked that I don't respond, or something like that. Apparently I'm not sweet, I think is the whole point. I didn't know I needed to be.
Well, I mean, I don't know necessarily that you need to be sweet, but I think you should. I mean, I don't know that you should go around telling people that you think they got autism.
We're aware of your opinion on this.
Yeah,
but
mean,
the point is, I was not telling them, again, that they had autism.
No, you think they had autism.
Why are people so touchy? You could tell me anything. I wouldn't care. Okay, fine. Gotcha.
Okay.
I would say I'll take that into consideration.
So if Elias like said, you know, Scott, I think you're on the spectrum.
Yep.
You just be like, all right, cool. And I'll say,
thank you. I appreciate your appreciation, and I'll see what I can do about that.
Yeah, I don't know.
What I would do.
I don't know.
I'm not telling anybody else how to live their life, but that's how I would handle it.
I don't know. I don't think that's something that should be said.
Well, Monday night's flock camera night.
Seems rude.
Why? Is autism a diss? I know a lot of autistic people who are very enjoyable.
Yeah, I mean,
if it was a negative, I could see it.
Okay, all right.
What?
Okay, no, it's fine.
That's all I'm saying. Okay, Vivek, Monday night, Vivek. Monday night is flock camera night here in Marion. That's the big meeting. Will the city council have enough votes to overturn Mayor Collins' veto? Not looking good.
Yeah, I don't think that it's going to end up working. I think the veto is probably going to end up killing the legislation. Sorry. Anyways, yeah, I don't think they have the votes. I mean, I think there's a fair chance that Dan Clark changes his vote, and I think that he might not change his vote if his vote doesn't matter, because it might just save him some flack. But other than that, I think that, you know.
You know what's interesting? Everybody thinks they're a star now, and again, I think this is the social media world. See, I don't think the flock cameras are what is Orwellian. I think it's the idea that everybody wants to be a star now. Because in the last 2 days, just since the veto, I saw one person who is a very vocal against flock cameras, now starting their own page, changing it from their name to something else, and using memes of Mayor Collins as a king to get people to their page. And then I saw somebody else who said on Monday night, they don't know when the meeting will be over, but they're going to be live streaming what happens after the meeting. Now, see, here we are. They're like doing a promo.
What do they think is going to happen after the meeting?
I don't know. Well, I guess they'll tell you what happened at the meeting. I don't understand any of this. I think this is bad. Because I think now what we're doing is we're trying to rile people up. I don't think we're trying to inform people. I think we're because these are advocates to try to eliminate the flock cameras.
Well, I don't understand the whole memes of Mayor Collins as a king.
Because people like it. People stop by and they go, oh, look at that. It's all a gimmick. Memes are a gimmick in general. If somebody's using memes, it's a gimmick. Because they know if they wrote the same thing, it's not going to get the same attention. They're trying to get you visually.
It just doesn't make any sense. I mean, a veto can be overturned. I mean, if it was a king, couldn't overturn a veto.
But it's not about that. You got to do something flashy to get people's attention. Which I think this... I'll be so glad when this is over for that reason. I mean, I think the issue itself is a civics lesson. What I don't like is the way people are using it. You know, are you really into the flock cameras if you're using... I mean, do you think you're like in the news business or something? I don't quite understand it. Do you just want people to see your face? Are you really trying to inform people? I don't know what any of this is.
Maybe they just like advocate pages.
Okay. I mean, that's fine.
So they're like advocating against the flock cameras.
Yeah, but I guess I don't understand, again, the meme of Mayor Collins as a king. And I don't understand catch me Monday when the meeting's over, which we don't know what time the meeting will be over anyway. These are open-ended meetings. I'm going to live stream it. So apparently you just have to wait there. Until the meeting's over.
I mean, you could just go to the meeting.
Could go to the meeting. Or watch the live stream of the meeting.
Yeah, but I don't. They stopped the live stream after the meeting.
Right, but I think my impression was they're just going to tell you what happened at the meeting.
Oh, well, then just watch the meeting.
But see, that doesn't get people to your page, you see. It's all a little gimmicky. Like I said, it's very gimmicky.
Well, I mean, you know, attention is how you make money, I guess, on social media.
See, this is why I have always preferred interviews to news stories. Because I can tell you what happened, but some of my perspective, like it or not, is going to slip into that. An interview is you telling me what happened with you. I always think that's much better. That's firsthand. That's it. There's going to be opinion involved, but it's somebody who is actually involved. If I'm not involved, I can tell you what happened. Like, it's me watching a movie and telling you what the movie was like. It's not going to match up with the movie exactly, because you're going to have a different take on what I say than what actually happened. It's just different. But if one of the actors tells you about the movie, they were in the movie.
I guess. I mean, I don't know. You could just, like... Such a long, needless analogy, but good, good.
Well, I think it was exactly the point I was trying to make.
I mean, I think it worked just well saying, just go to the meetings.
But no, I don't think... Well, no, because I don't think people understand why I think interviews are more telling than just me telling you about it.
Well, I mean, you got the person who you have the questions about there to ask the questions about too.
Right, but you will get... Like, I'll tell you, the meeting when flock cameras passed, the moment that passed... The first thing that popped in my head, flashing red, was, is the mayor going to veto this? And only one person could answer it that night. And that was the mayor. So I could tell you what happened, and I could tell you that there could be a veto, and all that would be pertinent information, but there's no news in that.
If they veto it, does it, like, kill the legislation, or do they get to, like, rework it?
If they veto it, the legislation goes on, but the mayor can veto it again. I think you get two vetoes as a mayor.
No, but like, I guess the better question is, I guess then, do you think they're going to rework it or just like re-vote it?
If the veto doesn't go through?
If it does go through.
If they can't overturn it?
Yes.
Do I think they'll rework it?
Yeah. What do you think they'll just...
I don't know. They seem like...
And then toss it aside.
They seem like all or nothing people.
I feel like the flock camera thing is probably a very reworkable, like, very reworkable thing. I mean, you could definitely compromise in there.
But it doesn't seem like they want compromise.
Pragmatism is golden in politics. You get a lot done if you're pragmatic.
Then why hasn't Rollins or Thad called?
I guess because
the sheriff.
I guess because Rollins thought he had the votes, and he did. And I guess now I don't think he has the votes to overturn the veto, but maybe he feels that he can just do it again.
But that's the time to be pragmatic. When you have just enough votes, but you know somebody could veto it, that's when you go and you be pragmatic about it. Unless you're an all or nothing person, and all is the camera's got to go.
I mean, I've said that there are things that... I mean, like, I'm opposed to the flock cameras, but I think there's compromises that could be made that I think I would be okay with as far as keeping the flock cameras.
So you believe that Rollins and Smith, Thad Smith, would be happy with these cameras staying under some circumstance?
Like I've mentioned the legislation that other places have done where it's like the flock cameras, if it tags your license plate and you're not in some list for like a stolen vehicle or a warrant or so on and so forth, something like that, then it has to delete your
right. But my question was,
yeah. So I mean, like you could do something like, I mean, it basically,
but do you think
it eliminates their primary concern? It's no longer tracking. So yeah, I mean, I would think that if you eliminate that concern, then I don't see why they wouldn't.
Well, then why would you write the legislation that way?
To
why eliminate the cameras.
Well,
right out of the bat.
I guess they want the cameras gone. I don't know.
Well, then you just answered my question. No.
Well, I mean,
nothing short of removing the cameras will be good for them, which is why there's no compromise, which is probably why they haven't called the sheriff.
Look,
which is why this is the way it is.
I think if there's not going to be any compromise, I think the cameras are going to stay because I don't think they're going to be able to overturn the veto.
Most likely.
So, I mean, I think it's either compromise or the flock cameras are staying.
But I think to them, which is the point, again, I was trying to make, was to them, that is the deal breaker, the camera staying. And that's why there is no compromise on this particular issue.
I think there's, I don't know, there's, I think there could be.
Not to them.
They just haven't.
To you,
they just
but you're not there.
They just haven't worked it.
No, I don't think there is for them.
Well, that's not getting a lot done.
If they wanted, again, they could have offered amendments to the legislation before they voted on it. They did not do that.
I mean, Rollins cleaned it up because there were complaints.
But he didn't put anything in there.
Yeah, I mean, there was nothing changed. It was just clarification
right.
stuff.
So again, there you are.
I mean, I don't know. I don't see. I mean, I think, like I said, I mean, I think if you don't compromise, I think the cameras are going to stay. I mean, I don't, like, you don't have the votes to overturn the veto. And I think that, I mean, I don't know. I really think that the majority of the people really don't care one way or another about the flock cameras.
Probably.
I mean, I don't think there are really a whole lot of proponents, I guess. But I think that the large majority of people just don't care about the flock cameras. So I think if you put it up to, like, if you somehow got it out to, like, I don't know, you don't like the idea of putting it up to a vote. But, I mean, you could, if you do some kind of poll or something. Like I said, I don't think the people generally care about the flock cameras.
Right. And that's where it is. So if people generally don't care, that's the end.
Yes, I think the majority of people are silent.
And as a matter of fact,
because they just don't care.
I think that the fervor of people to get rid of them, there's nothing wrong with wanting to get rid of them, but the extreme that people have taken that to, I think turns a lot of people off. I think when you start making memes of the mayor as a king, I think when you start attacking the FOP, I think when you do things like that and you use the language and rhetoric that a lot of them have used, I think it turns people off.
So, you know, like I've said, you know, at least a dozen times now, I do not like the flock cameras, but when you tell people that you don't like the flock cameras, a lot of people just kind of think you're crazy. I think it's because a lot of the arguments against the flock cameras are just, I don't know, for lack of a better word, I'm just going to say crazy. I mean, I understand the whole, like, it feels like an invasion of privacy, but the Supreme Court has ruled that in public you have no, or not the Supreme Court, but, you know, district courts have ruled that you don't have an expectation of privacy when you're in public. So, there you go. I mean, there's that. Done.
But then people use the reason, well, one day, the Supreme Court will rule on this.
But when they do, then...
That's what you...
I mean, I don't know what else to say. I mean, when the Supreme Court rules on it, then they rule on it. Then things happen then.
It's just a bizarre subject. And I think it's been strung out too long now, too. The longer something like this goes on, the tireder people get of it.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I feel like the conversation's been had, really. I mean, there's been meetings. We had a whole flock representative. And by the way, I don't even know why they invited the flock representative. I feel like three questions were asked to that man.
Which, again, should tell you something about the people who are against flock. They really don't want information. They want to berate the sheriff. They want to berate the police chief. Like, they want to berate the flock program. And that's why there is no middle ground.
I mean, we did get information in that meeting, but it was nowhere near as informational as it could have been. I mean, the guy who had the information was right there. And nobody really bothered to ask him any questions.
Because it's all a lie, you see.
Yeah, I mean, fair enough. I mean, there's that. So, like, I always say that if you think that everything that they're going to say is a lie, there's no point in asking the question. So if they really just thought that he was just going to lie every time they asked a question, then I guess there was no point in asking a question.
Which is my point about city council in general meetings. People, I think, are getting up there to tell you what they know. They don't. It's not really a question and answer. They really don't care what the council person has to say because they cut them off before they even get through an answer. And once they give you the answer, they tell you you're lying anyway.
Yeah, I don't understand what the point in that. I mean, if it, like I said, if you just think they're going to lie to you, then what's the point in even asking for the answer?
It's a little bit, again, I think it's a little bit of a show. That's why I don't like the meetings being televised or streamed or whatever you want to call it. I think it's a show. You know, somebody told me they sit at home and order pizza and watch the thing.
Like a movie.
It's like theater of the living. And I think that's not a good look.
I understand the whole argument for accessibility, but I think if accessibility is the problem and you can't make it on Mondays, I think in order to incentivize people to come on Mondays, maybe they should just, like, record them and post them, like, Tuesday.
Well, look at what they do now. I mean, it's memes, it's I'm going to live stream. Do people really believe that they have this kind of sway? I mean, I guess we'll find out Monday.
I mean, I think that, if you generally hold, if you like one person or like one page who opposes flock cameras, you're probably gonna follow other people or pages who also oppose flock cameras. So I think collectively they probably do have a pretty sizable following. But I don't know how many of them are from Marion. I mean, you know, people from all over follow, like, deflock pages.
I don't know. I don't know if it's sizable or not. I don't know. I think people tend to lap up what they like.
Yeah, that's what the internet is.
Well, not all of it. No, I don't think it's that way. I think, you know, I put the interview with the DJ up earlier. A lot of people's comments were very negative about him. Because our site is not driven that way. Because we are not feeding the monster. You know, it's not pick a narrative and then everything follows that narrative. So we follow the algorithm.
No. But I'm just saying, that's how algorithms work. People who like news are probably going to see the local WGH Talk news page. People who don't like news probably aren't going to even know aren't even going to know who DJ the Barber is.
Right. But if we're talking about the issue with flock cameras, if you're in an advocate for flock cameras algorithm, that's what you're going to get. But if you're in our algorithm, because we're reporting on flock cameras, you're not going to get an advocation for flock cameras. You're going to get a whole lot of other stuff.
I mean, I don't know. You might. I mean, I follow the WGH Talk page, and in the rare instance I get on Facebook, I see, I can't even think of the page's name, so fair enough. But, they post, like, anti-flock stuff.
Okay.
So.
But we don't post anti-flock stuff, and we don't post positive flock stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So, we're not an advocate. We're not anti. But, if you are looking at our page, you're going to see both sides. Like, let's say you're a follower of David Pepper, and you looked at our interview, you followed our page. Well, you're also going to get DJ the Barber. Because we're not going one way or another. So, that's the difference. Other sites are feeding the animal. They're feeding exactly the narrative that they want. And, that's just not news. But I'm not even sure they're trying to be.
I don't know, they call themselves news.
Okay. So does Fox.
Yeah.
So does MSNBC or MS Now or whatever it is now. Not exactly news.
Well, people take him for the news.
Some do, which is the problem.
I wouldn't listen to MS Now or Fox. Actually, I don't even watch televised news. I read my news. I read The Guardian. I read the AP. I read the Wall Street Journal. The, you know, BBC, so on and so forth.
Anyway, whatever happens Monday happens on Monday. Pumpkin spice stuff, we don't know. Could be out. Who knows?
You think there will ever be a resurgence in newspapers, speaking of reading the news?
No.
Very sad.
No. Too costly, and the internet kind of wiped that out. Because people are doing the same thing. They're reading it, and then get access to it quicker, and newspapers have adapted to the internet. You can't give away what your product is on the internet and expect people to buy it.
You think more people, like, watch the news or, like, read, like, articles on the internet?
Oh, I think more people watch.
Really?
Yeah. Most people don't like to read. Most people will read a line or they'll look at
the headlines. Yeah, but the headlines aren't the story. Headlines are supposed to be, like...
Well, that's another reason the newspaper business is dead. I remember when Ben Lanka was the editor of the Marion Star, and that's like 8 years ago. And I did an interview with him, and I said, online, what is the average time somebody spends on a Marion Star story? And it was like seconds.
Yep.
Long enough to read the headline. So the article is irrelevant.
The article's where the information's at.
But people don't read it.
See, what you're supposed to do is say, that's an interesting headline, and then read the article.
But people do the same thing with interviews. They look at who it was, and they comment on who it was, but they don't listen to what they have to say. That's why we're...
I don't understand, like, when people... I don't understand that. It doesn't make any sense. How are you gonna... Like, I don't understand how you can be negative about an interview or... Like anything that you haven't heard.
Because they don't like the person. It's a very strange society.
Bad people can do good interviews, I guess.
But we don't even listen to them. We don't care.
I don't know.
I was talking to somebody today about football. You know, we had a football score called in there. You know, people don't really... High school football, the only way you used to be able... to know what was going on in a high school football game was to go or listen to it on the radio. Now, there are all kinds of sites that will update the score constantly.
Speaking of, I'm going to see if ScoreStream...
Right, but it's nothing. So now you've completely eliminated the need for the game.
Well, no, the game's the entertainment. I don't care about the score, necessarily.
No, but what are you looking for?
I want my team to win, I guess, but...
No, but people will look for the score if people weren't going to those sites.
Yeah, the score is like the... I mean, like, that's what the whole game boils down to.
But if you weren't giving people the score instantaneously, they would have to go to the game, or they would have to listen to the game. But that's not necessary anymore.
Harding is losing now.
Well, that's usually how it goes.
17-14, third quarter.
Well, it sounds like a good game.
Elgin's winning, 9-0. River Valley's winning by 2 points, 7-9. And North Union is beating Pleasant, 7-28. There you go. I think that's all of them.
See that? And we don't know anything except the score. Haven't seen anything, don't know anything.
Well, I'd assume that there was a field goal.
Maybe
three field goals.
I don't know. I used to like when people actually knew things. Or at least they had... You know, that's where the real problem is. There's no problem solving anymore. Because people just grab their phone. They let's find out what it was. Let's not try to get there through our brain. Let's just pull it out.
Well, I mean, I can't, like, it's not like I know the scores and I just got to think about them. I don't know the scores. I have
No, but I'm saying it used to be you had to listen. Or you had to go. But we just knocked that right out of there. And I'm sure that has hurt attendance. And I'm sure that has hurt people listening to the games.
I don't know. I can't imagine. Because, like...
Oh, I'm sure it has.
Watching the game, like...
If there was no need for it, it wouldn't be there.
The score... No. I mean, the score... Like, there needs to be a goal to the game. You have to, like... There has to be a winner and a loser. But, like, the game itself, is the entertainment. The score
if
is
those,
like just how then they
why is anybody posting it?
Posting
why does it have to be posted instantaneously? If I'm there, I know what the score is. If I'm listening to it, I know what the score is. That's not for me. That's for me if I'm not listening, if I'm not there. And that's a whole new thing.
Yeah, my eyes are watering. But I don't know. Like I said, I mean, I don't think there's... If all football was an updating score, there's not much of a point to watch it.
You must be allergic to something.
I think so.
It was something you ate. Because you weren't like that till you ate that.
I ate chicken nuggets and fries.
Could be that.
It's the chicken nuggets.
Or the fries. Could be either one.
I ate a lot of potatoes. I'm sure it's not the fries.
There's more than in those fries than potatoes.
Some kind of preservative.
Oh, there's preservatives. There's all kinds of salt. Could be anything. You must be allergic to a lot of things, though.
I don't think so. I'm not allergic to anything as far as I know.
Have you ever had an allergy test?
I don't think so.
There you go. Case in point.
Not my problem.
Well, it is your problem. You're the one with the watery eyes and the sniffles and the coughing and the hacking.
I don't have... it's not like this is like every day.
A lot of days. I don't think there's a Friday that you come in here that you're not sneezing or blowing or coughing or hacking.
Well, that's like when I wake up.
But most people don't do that.
When
they just wake up.
When I wake up, I sneeze.
But you haven't just woken up. You've driven here. You've been around. I mean, it's not like you're just out of bed and over to the microphone.
Maybe you got a dust in here.
I don't think it's here. You say you have this problem other places.
Yeah, when I wake up and I go to work in the morning and whatnot, nose is running and whatnot. Yeah. Got a cough.
My nose is not running in the morning. When I get out of bed.
Well, that's good for you, I guess.
Right.
Maybe I need the dust.
Maybe. Maybe. Could be something like that. Back to school this week. I'm sure that was exciting for a lot of people.
I did not know this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good.
Happens every August.
People
go back to school.
Yeah, I don't know. That's good.
Well, you're full of it tonight.
I mean, I don't know. I didn't like school.
Well, I'm not asking if you like school. I'm saying this week was back to school.
Yeah, that's exciting. You get the kids out of the house. I'm sure parents like that. My mom was always hyped when we went back to school.
I just think it's fun for people.
Yeah. Fun?
Well, yes, they like to go to the games. They get tired of being out in the summer.
Oh, yeah, I mean the football games and whatnot. There's good things.
But that's where we are. Back to school time.
You want to buy me a viola?
No.
Why?
Why do you want one?
Because I know how to play it.
Well, what happened to yours?
My mom bought it for me when I was in high school so I could play. Actually, it might have been in like middle school, actually, because I switched to middle school. Anyways, switched to viola in middle school, so I think I got one in middle school. And then I didn't play it for a while. And then one day I messaged my mom, and I was like, do you guys still have my viola? I kind of want to start playing my viola again. And she was like, no, we sold it like last week. And I was like, oh, well, what a coincidence.
See, that'll teach you.
So now I gotta go buy me another one.
Well, I can't imagine they're that expensive.
Like $400 plus taxes.
Get a used one.
No. It'll be all beat up. Also, I gotta like get... I think a 16-inch viola is like a full-size viola, so I'm just gonna get a 16-inch because I had a 15-inch when I was in high school, so I just assume I've gained an inch. So, I'll assume that I'm a full-size viola now.
Where did this come from?
You mentioned
school.
Yeah, you mentioned school, yeah.
Okay.
I learned how to play the viola in school.
See, there you go. You can thank the school for that.
Yes, I can. Otherwise, I would not know how to play.
So what was your problem with school?
It was just boring. There were classes I liked. Like, I like history, and I liked the science classes. And I loved algebra. Algebra was pretty good, but geometry was terrible. I hated geometry. Terrible class. Do not recommend geometry. Gotta take it, I guess, but terrible class.
Hey, Rosie O'Donnell,
like I said,
hosting Jimmy Kimmel this week.
Well, that's good, too. I think they should have Rosie O'Donnell doing her own show. I like that.
Boy, the other night when we were having a conversation about Rosie O'Donnell being bigger than Jimmy Kimmel, people flipped out about that.
Yeah, I thought she was bigger than Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh, she is.
But apparently we thought wrong according to the other two.
People, I don't know what planet some people live on, but Jimmy Kimmel is, first of all, Jimmy Kimmel became a big celebrity in the later half of his career. So I don't quite understand that. You know, Rosie sang a song on her last night for President Trump. Can you believe that this would happen?
What a gift.
We'll play it here if we can get it queued up. Let's see here. Da, da, da. Let's see here. Okay, I think we got it. This is Rosie O'Donnell last night on her last night guest hosting Jimmy Kimmel Live singing a song for our president. Heaven knows they get along so well.
Barbara Streisand.
Here we go.
XXX Barbara. Well, what can I do? I adore her. Thank you, Barbara, for being so kind to me my entire career and inspiring me to do this in the first place. And now please forgive me, Barbara. I know you're watching, and I'm about to sing a song. Sadly, usually in the wrong key, but I make up for it in enthusiasm, okay? I would like to close my final monologue here with a traditional Irish song dedicated to a very special boy. Oh, Donnie boy, it's Rosie calling from Hollywood, the Jimmy Kimmel Show. Drop that Big Mac that we all know you're holding, because, my dear, I worry for you so. Poor Donnie boy, your polls are falling. Your reflecting pool is green as Mountain Dew. Your wig's a mess, your ballroom is appalling. And with Iran, you bit off more than you can chew. Measles are back, inflation is a swelling. You post all night, you're sleeping while you work. And what's with all this useless crap you're selling? Hey, sweetie pie, you're driving us all berserk. But there's a way to end this drama. It's time to use that stable genius brain. Since we all know you'll never be Obama. Why not resign and make this country great again? Yes, we all know.
She brought the house down last night.
Well, that's good. You know, I think that this, you know, she always pokes fun at Trump, and I think Trump hates that woman.
Trump does not like Rosie O'Donnell. Way back to this has been going on 20 years now. It all started on The View 20 years ago.
Well, that's okay. I mean, I think Rosie's probably on the winning side of this whole thing.
Well, because she's a comedian. I don't think...
She's just been beating Donald Trump around. Trump's just getting upset.
He just does not like her.
I like her. She's funny. Funny woman. She's creative. She writes music all the time about Donald Trump.
Well, she does. She's got that. I think this is where it started. I think this is the clip that started it all many, many... 20 years ago. Celebrating 20 years of the Rosie O'Donnell, Donald Trump feud. I remember, you know, I think I might have watched this when it happened. 2016, I believe. No, 2006. Holy mackerel. 20 years they've been fighting with each other. But it all started because it was a story about Miss USA. Well, I guess here it is. This is how the feud started.
Oh, hi. Yeah, we're back on. All right, so Donald Trump is in the news again. Because
he's allowing
Well, because his show, The Apprentice, is starting again in January, he held a big press conference to see if he was going to allow Miss USA, such a prestigious title, to regain
well,
and
retain... Well, it's supposed to be.
To Miss America is the prestige. Miss USA is a different thing.
Representing America in a bathing suit.
Yes, it's basically a model competition. Let's be realistic, okay?
What about peace in the world? They always want peace in the world.
They have one question in Miss USA.
And they always say,
like, I'd like to cure cancer and end world hunger. And then I'd like to go to Studio 54 and do some crack, you know. But apparently, this young girl, Tara Conner, how old is she? 21. She went out and she was partying. She's from Kentucky.
She's so cute.
She went to New York and she was hanging out at all the parties, doing what Paris and Lindsay do, you know, dancing, whatever. And so he held a press conference to announce whether or not she was going to retain her crown.
Yes.
And then she started to cry.
She did.
Going, I just want to thank Donald. He's giving me a second chance.
And it's brilliant.
And there he is, hair looping, going, left the first wife, had an affair, left the second wife, had an affair, had kids both time, but he's the moral compass for 20-year-olds in America. Donald, sit and spin, my friend. I don't enjoy him.
This is the thing, you know, you say what you want to say about him. I know you said that his father gave him his money.
It's
listen, the fact of the matter is, you say what you want to say, but he's a businessman.
Yeah.
He's a master of branding. There are a lot of kids who've inherited money from their parents, and you can't see anything about it except a car or a house that's defunct.
He had inherited a lot of money. He's been bankrupt so many times where he didn't have to pay.
A lot of people have been bankrupt, but he's come back.
The people beneath him who he owed money to got shorted out of the money, but he got to again try again and again, and you know what saved him the second time? After his father died, with that money, he paid off all his bankruptcy. This is not a self-made
man. He's honorable. He paid off his creditors.
No, he didn't. He didn't pay off the people he owed.
They put you on a payment plan.
Here comes a lawsuit. Get ready. This is going to be good. He's going to sue me, but he'll be bankrupt by that time, so I won't have to worry. But I don't know. I just think that this man is like sort of one of those, you know, snake oil salesmen in Little House on the Prairie. You remember that episode where the guy would come in with a lot of bottles and everybody would be like, ooh, and then he'd leave and little Laura Ingalls would go, Dad, I don't think there's anything in this bottle. Well, you're right, Half-Pipe. That man was full of crap. You know, that's sort of what it is, I think.
Well, that was Donald Trump. That's how it all started. That really got under his skin.
Well, I think Rosie's been winning this since day one.
She was funny.
I think Donald Trump just, like, insults her. Rosie just, like, you gotta be funny when you insult somebody. You can't just be rude about it.
Then her and Barbara Walters got cross because of that. Oh, yeah.
How'd that go?
You know, by the way, didn't we talk about this the other night? Okay, well, listen, hold on a second here if I can get this. Okay, this is the story of what happened with Barbara Walters and Rosie O'Donnell. Okay, because remember the other night we talked about this.
Yep.
Here's the story when Rosie was on Oprah promoting her book. So here's what happened.
What did she feel specifically you should have done that you did not do?
She felt that as much as I defended her, I didn't defend her enough. It was a forerunner of what would happen later with Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm.
And, however...
Wasn't there an ugly moment in the dressing room?
There was
the
an ugly moment in the dressing room.
Yeah.
With Rosie. It was perhaps emotionally her worst day. Okay? I really would like to leave it at that. Because I did not even write about it. It was Rosie at her... when she had a lot of rage.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is going to sound silly to say, but I have... always loved Rosie. I understand where the rage comes from. She is such a talent. She is such a warm-hearted, truly loving and lovable person. There is this other side.
I remember I had read this in your book. That's why I asked her that question.
Yeah.
Because the way you had described the moment in the book, let me just read this from Celebrity Detox. And then Barbara got up from sitting because she was getting her hair washed. You're in the makeup room.
First day I saw her after a two-week vacation, the Trump thing had happened, and I had tried to contact her many times, and she never responded.
Okay.
So this is the first day back at work, and I was seeing her.
Okay, so let me do this. Then Barbara got up from sitting because she was getting her hair washed, walked over with a towel on her head.
Yeah.
She put her arms around me from behind. She didn't look at me. She looked at my reflection in the mirror. because you all are in the makeup room. See?
Right.
And my reflection in the mirror looked at her reflection in the mirror. So we were and we're not facing each other. So reflections are talking to reflections. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you stood up. You say, I stood up. I tell people I love. I've always told people, if you ever are in a fight with me and I stand up, leave the room.
Or hang up the phone.
Yes. Not because I'm going to hit you. I've never hit a person. I've never worried that I would. But if I stand up, that's a sign that the rage is too big for my body. I have to move to readjust the rage and the pressure of the past. So what happened?
I stood up. You know, I went there and I remember Kelly saying to me, Ro, you got to, you know, breathe through it. She's a 78-year-old woman. You really have to get your, you know, and I just, of course, hurt feelings. I had hurt feelings. I'm like, wow. Now, mind you, she shouldn't have to take on every single comment and ruin her social life.
Yeah.
So I turned up and looked at her and I said, you know, I said a lot of things that hurt her feelings. And you know what's really, really regretful for me is that I think I scared her. And I do love her,
mm-hmm.
and I do have reverence for her. But I did scare her that day because, you know, I'm 200 pounds. When I stand up and I go right in your face and say, you know, what is wrong with you? Do you not have a human heart? Do you not, like, you know, it's crazy. And
yeah, it was a
words,
bad scene.
Words are weapons for
do
me.
Do you regret that moment?
Yes, yeah. I do. I regret that moment mostly because I think no one has spoken to her like that in decades.
Yeah, she's, or probably ever.
Maybe ever.
Ever.
She's been, you know, a little bit like the Queen. You know, when I saw the movie The Queen, I thought about Barbara a lot. I really did. Not in a bit, just because the Queen has to sort of go through the world. She talks to world leaders. She's
Barbara yeah, but, was the, but for me, she is the Queen.
Right.
Yeah. She is and was, and that's how I ended up in television. And so she
yes.
is the Queen.
And
so,
I was demanding from her an emotional connection that I don't think she was capable or willing to give to me, that it maybe was not my right to ask for.
And we'll come back and talk about who was right and who was wrong in the Rosie-Barbara feud right after this. Stay tuned.
.samhsa.gov. This message brought to you by SAMHSA and this station.
I'll be here to hear what's on your mind.